Thank you very much, Clinton. I'm glad to see that a lot of the same people are here who saw Clinton's talk this morning, where he discussed the site that we've done a lot of this research. I won't have the time to discuss it in great detail, but we're going to switch gears a little and start talking about the antibiotic resistance in soil bacteria. So a little outline of my talk. Talk a little bit about the need for water reclamation in Arizona, although I'm sure that most people know how very dry we are. The increasing concern about antibiotic resistance in the medical and science community. Just very short history of the Gilbert Water Ranch, which you've already heard in two previous talks, hopefully. And describe a two-year study that we've been doing at the Gilbert Water Ranch, looking at antibiotic resistance in bacteria isolated from sediments that have been recharged with reclaimed water for over 20 years, and then briefly touch on some future work that's coming out of this. Why water reclamation? As I said, this will be quick. These numbers are about 5 years old, but in Arizona, we have three major sources of water for municipal irrigation and for agricultural use. Number one comes from our surface waters, the Colorado Gila River and the Salt River. And if you did see Clinton Williams' talk this morning, you understand that the Gila and Salt River don't have water in them. So we're very, very dry in Arizona. Our second source is groundwater. It makes up about 45% of the total that is used for irrigation currently, or in 2005. And the third number is reclaimed effluent. And of those three numbers, the only one that has any potential of going up in the next year is our reuse of effluent. And so we are really studying this in great depth in Arizona. As our population rises, we need to find new sources of water. So antibiotic resistance. At the end of 1999, the World Health Organization came out with a statement saying that antibiotic resistance is one of the most critical human health challenges of the next century, and that's now. That's the century that we're in. The causes of this are many, but one of them is that up to 75% of antibiotics that are given to humans and to animals are excreted unaltered or as metabolites. And wastewater treatment plants are not designed for removal of these micropollutants. So it was about the year 2000 that a key paper came out in Environmental Science and Technology that kind of pinpointed treatment plants as a key source of resistance into the environment. However, what is often forgotten, what is widely known but is often ignored, is that many antibiotics were first isolated from soil fungi and bacteria. And a lot of these studies that you see currently in the literature that show high levels of antibiotic resistance don't really consider the natural background resistance that's out there in the environment. So in 2009, it seems like so long ago. We started a study at the Gilbert Riparian Reserve. This is about 20 miles from our research center. It was created in 1986, and there are seven recharge basins. It's a groundwater recharge area. These seven basins receive tertiary treated municipal effluent from the city of Gilbert. At that same year, I established a control site where I'm also collecting soils and sediments, and it's an irrigation retention pond located right next to our site at the Maricopa Agricultural Center. It's not that this site has never been exposed to any sort of agricultural chemicals. In fact, you won't find anywhere in the world where we cannot isolate antibiotics from. However, this pond at the Maricopa Agricultural Center has never received any treated municipal effluent. So that's why we're using it as our control site. So we went out in 2009 and again in 2010, and Clinton's probably laughing to himself because I say we, but I didn't do any of this work. Sometimes I get to pull the girl card, but not very often, but I do. So Clinton and his wonderful technicians went out with a Giddings soil probe and removed 50-some cores, 50 in 2009 and 50 in 2010, from the dried basins of the Gilbert riparian wetland. These cores were 120 centimeters in length. In the lab, these soils were cut up, and approximately 1 gram of soil was removed from the core center. And from that, in my lab, we did a selective enrichment to enrich the gram-positive soil bacteria from these soil cores. What we did to test for antibiotic resistance, it was a 96-well plate. That is preset with levels of antibiotic. This bottom picture I know is very, very busy, but as you can see, it just has different levels of 16 different antibiotics in increasing amounts. For example, tetracycline, there are 6 different levels of tetracycline, from 1 microgram per liter to 32 micrograms per milliliter. And what we would do is these gram-positive bacteria that we had isolated, we would mix up to a known concentration and apply that to each well, incubate it overnight. And these methods are dictated to us by the Clinical and Laboratory Standards Institute. So we use those methods. And obviously what grows, we're looking for something called the minimum inhibitory concentration, which is that concentration of this antibiotic that inhibits the growth of the bacteria. So I wish I could talk about this all day, but I'll have to very quickly run some of the early results by you. So as I said, 16 different antibiotics. We saw 4 main general patterns of antibiotic resistance. We also looked for resistance with depth, and I want to tell you these are across all depths, because I don't have time to show you the data at all depths, however, we're not really seeing a large depth trend at this time. So we saw three main patterns. Number one, the first pattern we saw is that with the groundwater irrigated soils and the wastewater, sometimes we saw no resistance at all. These numbers that you're seeing here in the columns are percentages. Very often we saw that the resistance was about the same. So the percentage of, sometimes those resistances were very high. Daptomycin resistance, more than 50% of bacteria were resistant to very high levels of daptomycin. All these resistance levels that I'm showing you are what's called a very high level resistance, meaning that there are different levels of resistance. This is the highest level of resistance, the dangerous bacteria. Lincomycin resistance was also very high in both the groundwater and the wastewater irrigated soils. Very, very interestingly, sometimes we saw that the wastewater irrigated soil resistance was quite a bit lower, substantially lower. Statistics have not been done in this because this is an incomplete data set. However, in erythromycin was really eye-opening. More than 40% of isolates had high-level resistance to erythromycin, whereas only 20% of the wastewater irrigated soils. Tetracycline was also a very surprising finding, where we saw almost 20% compared to none in the wastewater at all. So this is what we expected to find when we started this study. We actually thought that we'd see higher levels of resistance in the wastewater irrigated soils. It just made sense that if these municipal wastewaters had trace levels of antibiotics in them, that we would start to see the development of resistance. We really are not finding that yet, but this is the only one that is of a little concern, and we're really going to keep an eye on it. Quinupristin is one of those antibiotics that's a last resort. It's used if somebody has a really horrible flesh-eating bacterial problem. They will give quinupristin as one of those antibiotics that helps other antibiotics work. And to start finding 30% antibiotic resistance It's not that unusual, but it is a little bit eye-opening. Once again, this is the first year's data set. We have not yet finished analyzing this year's data, and I'm, you know, things could change. This is only based on about 200 isolates. What was very interesting is the multiple antibiotic resistance. Expected it to be much higher in the wastewater irrigated soils, and that wasn't true. In the wastewater, in fact, the isolates that were completely non-resistant were below 10%, whereas the groundwater, no, I'm sorry, I apologize, I got that backwards. The reclaimed water isolates that were not resistant to any antibiotics were almost 40% of all that we analyzed, whereas the isolates exposed to groundwater, only about 10% were not resistant to any antibiotics. And when you look at the single isolates that were resistant to 4 to 6 antibiotics, they were much higher in the sites that where we saw recharge with groundwater, about 30%. So, as I said at the beginning of my talk, published reports are indicating that wastewater may in fact select for increased antibiotic resistance. What we're finding so far is that resistance levels are really similar between the two sites, both the groundwater and reclaimed water irrigated soils, and that multi-drug resistance is much higher in the groundwater sediments. We are continuing work on this, and hopefully next year I'll have more to report. First and possibly most importantly, I said that we did an enrichment to select for gram-positive isolates because a lot of these antibiotics that we are looking at are effective against gram-positive organisms only. We're just doing a PCR and sequencing to make absolutely sure that what we isolated is in fact a gram-positive organism. That's ongoing right now. We're also going to scan through the data again to look for other levels of antibiotic resistance. As I said, what I've shown you today is very high level. If we start looking at lower levels of antibiotic resistance, that may show us resistance that is developing rather than resistance that is fully developed. We are also moving this study into additional sites and additional water qualities. The water coming out of the Gilbert municipal treatment plant happens to be very, very high quality. So if we found some areas that were being recharged with a lower quality of water, there's a chance we may see different results. And thank you very much for listening. So.
Any questions?
Yes.
I was curious to know the plates you were using for testing the resistance, are those similar to the BioLog plates?
They are somewhat similar. They're the ones that we use two types in our lab. One are plates that we make ourselves. We actually will add the antibiotics pre-diluted ourselves. We also use Trek plates. They're manufactured by Trek. The thing about these plates is they do come preloaded with the antibiotics, but Trek doesn't really like to give them to you. They want you to buy their plate reader, so you have to kind of bully them into selling them to you. So.
Follow-up question is, how do you measure the resistance? Do you just measure the color development and read them in the plate reader?
Yes. So it's a fluorescence development, and so each plate has positive and negative control wells as well. So that will give you a baseline to measure against whether you're seeing growth or not. And so you compare that to your positive and your negative control.
And how did you get the percentages? I thought that if you will measure them in a plate reader, you will get like average well color development.
Yes. Yes. So what? Right. So what I was doing is each isolate, I would say it's either resistant or not. So the percentages that I was giving you to each antibiotic, and that resistance number is dictated by the Clinical and Laboratory Standards Institute. They give us the number saying if this bacteria grows at 32 micrograms per mil of penicillin, it's resistance. But if it grows at 16, it's not. So those numbers are not ones that I determined. They're ones that are in the literature. And so the percentages that I gave you were percentages of all of the isolates that I screened that were fully resistant to that particular antibiotic. So. Anyone else? Oh, yes.
Have you thought about how is the wastewater chlorinated? The effluent is tertiary treated, so it's either they must use something for disinfection.
Yes, I just glanced over at the at the person who does it.
I mean, it effectively, you're sort of resetting, in a sense, the microbial population in the effluent.
Yeah, so that is, you know, we are doing other studies looking at regrowth of microbes within chlorinated systems. So it is possible that we have different populations. In fact, highly probable. However, that's why I used the control site, why I compared everything to a control site. It may be different organisms, but they would be, I guess you would see, I would still be isolating similar organisms. Does that?
I think also.
Thank you, Clinton.
In the soil, because it may have been chlorinated, but we're not measuring the resistance of the microbes in the water. We're measuring the microbial resistance, or the antimicrobial resistance that develops in the soil. So that's more a function of, is it being exposed to that antibiotic? And then if it is being exposed, is that allowing then it to build up a resistance? It's not necessarily the microbes that are in the water, it's what's in the soil.
And one thing that I neglected to mention, and I'm sorry, is that this study is being in tandem with Clinton's work, where he is actually isolating the antibiotics themselves from those same soil cores. He's looking for those antibiotics to see if they are in fact there, and if they are actually putting a selective pressure on the microbial life. So.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm not a microbiologist, but I'm curious. How fast can you induce the antibiotic resistance? Like, if you apply something with a lot of antibiotics today, over like several days, do you see this resistance build up and go down as you degrade the antibiotics? Do they come up and down?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, because it really, it's very, very dependent on the ecosystem, on the antibiotic, on the microbe in question. In fact, maybe Dr. Gerba could help me with this question. So, because he's looked at this extensively.
Yeah, what happens if you eliminate the selective pressure? In least gram negatives, I'm not sure about gram positive, which is different. They get rid of the genetic information because it's excess baggage to them. So usually, our studies have been planned to apply biosolids, plenty of antibiotics, resistant bacteria. But in a year, they're all gone, though it's back to background level because there's no selective pressure. Whereas wastewater, you may have a selective pressure here going on all the time, so you can get persistence and resistance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.